Our first chat with the Quincy City Council President, Councillor at Large, Nina Lang, here in 2021. Nina, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good to see you, and congratulations on being elected Council President once again.
Thank you. Thanks. The year flew by really quickly. I don't think any of us could have expected that this last year would have gone this way, but I'm really excited and really honored to be able to finish out the year as the City Council President.
Yeah, you had some really nice comments from your colleagues on the council, deservedly so, I will say as well. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, they're all very kind. I never, like, those kinds of moments always make me feel really uncomfortable and awkward. But no, Councillor Premucci nominated me, and Councillor Kane seconded it. And they were just, Councillor Premucci especially was very, very kind yesterday. And so I'm really grateful to my colleagues. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've continued the tradition of honoring COVID-19 heroes, right, here in the new year?
Yes, we did. And so Councillor Harris, you know, he has healthcare workers in his family. And so throughout this entire pandemic, you know, in addition to being a ward counselor and making sure that his constituents are safe, you know, he was really mindful about those in his family who work in the healthcare industry. And so he wanted to take an opportunity to really pause and honor anybody who is on the front lines, or healthcare workers, you know, who are administrating tests, who are taking care of those who are sick, who are now administrating vaccines. And here in Quincy, you know, Manit has really been on the front lines of that and has been an incredible community partner to so many other organizations and the city, really, in trying to implement things that we want to see happen and moving this forward. And so he wanted to bring them in last night, which was great. We had Cynthia with us. We had Dr. Lilly with us, and then we also had Kim with us, and just to, you know, sort of pause and again thank them for everything that they've done up until this point, when they were doing all of the testing and partnerships with Father Bill's, when they were doing the mass distribution with some of the nonprofits in the area, and now with, you know, the testing again, and with the, you know, administering of the vaccines. I mean, they've been nonstop. And so for Councillor Harris to bring them to us for an opportunity to formally thank them, I think was really timely, especially with the rollout of vaccines right now.
Yeah, there's no question the city is better off for having Manit, you know, here for sure. And I know they're working not only in Quincy, but in other areas where they have health centers as well. So those communities are really benefiting from their service.
They certainly are. And, you know, I'm very selfish when it comes to Quincy, so I'm just grateful that they're here serving us as well.
Sure. Will you keep up the tradition of opening the meetings with those accolades?
We will. And we have a very, very, very special guest lined up for next week. And so I do encourage folks to tune in at our 7:30 p.m. start time to check that out. I'm really excited for this person. So I hope folks will tune in.
Okay. And that'll be the 19th, actually, because the 18th is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right?
Correct. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I know there's a lot of discussion about the online rental platforms here in the city last night and an ordinance pertaining to that. Maybe you could explain what happened.
Yeah, of course. So just for clarification purposes, I think if folks look at the agenda, they'll see about four different items on there. Actually, let me just take a look quickly and see. I think it was five items. Four items. And so, you know, just to let everybody know, that all does tie in together to this conversation around online rental units, or as a lot of folks know, Airbnbs. You know, I think they were the first platform, or the most popular platform, really, that sort of launched this. Right now there's like VRBO and some of these other ones too, but just for conversation's sake, you know, I refer to them as the Airbnb ordinance. But in any case, so when folks go online and they look at the agenda, they'll see that there's four items pertaining to this. One is the actual legislation around how we're going to sort of manage these in the city moving forward. And so that's really sort of the meat of the conversation, was in that first order item. And then the remaining three pertained to what the city is allowed to do as far as collecting taxes on these based off of what the state had passed in their legislation, if that makes sense. So the bulk of the conversation was really around that first piece last night, around, again, regulations on this. You know, where can Airbnbs operate? You know, what kind of properties can Airbnbs be operated out of? Talks a lot about parking concerns, which is a huge concern of mine. Talks a lot about safety, about registrations, making sure that, you know, capacity is always going to be an issue when it comes to fire hazards. I mean, there's so much to consider when it comes to renting out a unit. You know, I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, right? There's a lot of folks who do this really well, They're very professional about it, and they're very respectful of their neighbors about it. They do a phenomenal job. They really set the standard, right? But like anything, you have folks that set the standard, and then you have folks that unfortunately, you know, take advantage of the process. And so this legislation, you know, this ordinance really takes an opportunity to say, what can we do to set some standards that will help support those who are doing it well, but also make sure that we are, you know, grabbing those who are taking advantage of the process and not doing it well, and making sure that they, again, need to follow these guidelines, follow the process correctly. So we talked a lot about, you know, some of the changes that had been made. This wasn't the first time we discussed it. When it was first brought to us, it was actually brought to us, and we've had this conversation now over a year about these concerns. You know, folks have brought to us about, you know, seeing a number of people in a home that, you know, was at a dangerous limit potentially because they were, you know, folks piling out of the home, or there were parties, or, you know, parking that was parking all over the place. And it just, there were a lot of complaints, a lot of issues, a lot of safety concerns. There were fire hazards, folks who were seeing Airbnb occupants in buildings, for example, where they were over capacity, and just wondering, you know, God forbid there's a fire, who do we get in touch with? How do we know how many people are inside that building or inside that room? And who's missing, and they don't know any of that because it's an Airbnb, right? So again, so many concerns had piled in over the last year, year and a half. And this conversation has been going on for quite some time. And so that when this formal ordinance was introduced, we wanted to have a public hearing. We wanted to hear from more residents on what was put together by the Assistant City Solicitor. Actually, Steve Durkin has done a phenomenal job. So we had that conversation. We had the public hearing. We had great feedback from our colleagues on the council. I think I spoke to you about that as well, some of the questions that needed follow-up. And so last night, Steve was able to, or Mr. Durkin was able to bring some of that feedback and some of the changes and talk about what those changes were. Again, adding some stipulations about parking, adding some more information about where these, you know, where these Airbnbs can operate, what the registration process looks like. And one of the things that we had talked about last night too is making sure logistically that we know exactly what the process is, right? And so thinking through, and this is something that I wanted to clarify was, you know, if and when this gets approved and, you know, officially signed in, right? What's the next step, right? Does it take 1 day, 2 days? What does it happen immediately within that minute, you know? And essentially what happens is this is a joint effort once this passes between Inspectional Services and the Health Department, as well as making sure that the counselors are notified so that the ward counselors in particular are able to communicate that with their residents should anything happen. And so there's a lot of collaborative efforts that need to happen and systems that need to be in place to make that a smooth process moving forward. That takes time. And so we talked about making this ordinance effective and putting all these things into place by March 15th. And that way it gives some time for all of those things to get hashed out. And frankly, it does give us some time too to reach out to current Airbnb owners to work with them, you know, to make sure that this process, once it starts on March 15th, will be the best process moving forward. And this does also come with the caveat that we are able to make changes to it moving forward. So once we implement it, this is the first time we've done something around Airbnb ordinances in the city or short-term rentals in the city. And once it's implemented and it kicks off on March 15th and it rolls out for a week, a month, a year, 10 years, you know, however long it is, if there's ever any changes or updates we need to make based off of changes that happen, city councilors can always come back and make changes to those ordinances as well. And so there's a lot that's happening around it. It did get a positive recommendation out of the ordinance committee last night, but it does still require a full vote at the regular city council meeting. It's the same body of people. It's still all of us on the council, but you know, logistically, it's moving out of the ordinance committee into the regular city council. It would still need a full vote from the city council body first, and then from there, it would need to be signed by the mayor. And then again, from there, we need to work with these departments to make sure we set up those systems.
Wow. Okay. So did it take a step forward, though? Would it apply to existing short-term rentals, Nina, or just new ones going forward?
Yep. So that's part of the process, right? Is we need to see exactly how many are currently operating in the city. We have a rough number, but we need to take a look at those who are not registered as well. And so there's currently a registration process with the state, but this would be one that's a registration process with the city. So we'd have to go in and take a look and see who's currently operating one.
Oh, okay. So Do you know, are other communities doing similar actions like this, or is this something that Quincy's spearheading?
No, there are other communities that have been working on these. So it's helpful, you know, to take a look and see what's working, what's not working. But ultimately, you know, again, as much as that can help to inform the process for us, we need to do what's best here in the city, you know, and implement something that works here within Quincy. And so I think, again, it's always helpful and informative to see what other folks are doing and, you know, again, what works and what doesn't work. But once we roll it out here, I think it's important that we get as much feedback as possible so we can, you know, create the best ordinance for here in the city.
Yeah. So would the city be able to shut down illegal short-term rentals under this?
I mean, ideally if there is, you know, but that's the point, right? Like, God forbid, if somebody's doing something illegal in any of these rental units, that's a public safety issue. This mm-hmm. is why we want this regulation, right? Is that we want to make sure that we are protecting the public safety of everyone, you know, and frankly, making sure that those who are doing this right, you know, whoever is doing it is following their lead, you know, and doing this correctly as well. So.
Okay. So was it put on the agenda for the next council meeting, do you know, or when will it come up again?
As of right now, it is not. Okay. But if and when it does come out of the council, because it's already out of committee, it could be presented officially on an agenda at the next council meeting or the meeting after, but it'll show up on the agenda before the meeting if it does.
Okay. All right. You had an update from the health commissioner last night.
We did, yes. So it was really, I think, timely to have her come at the start of the year. It's the first meeting of the year, just to let us know sort of what's going on. And, you know, she did confirm what I think everyone was speculating, right, which is because of the holiday season between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, that we would see a bit of an uptick. And that's what ended up happening, unfortunately. And so, you know, it's sort of the holiday surge that has happened over the last month and a half or so. And you certainly see that reflecting in the numbers as well. And as far as the average goes, she did say between, I think it was Weymouth and Braintree. Weymouth is on the sort of higher end, Braintree is on the lower end, but they do have a smaller population. And we sort of sit right in between the two of them, you know, and so we are still in the red zone, unfortunately. But again, that was a lot to do also with the last month and a half with the sort of holiday surge that happened, unfortunately. One of the great things, and I, you know, thought this was great, so I jotted this down and want to share it with folks, is that we did not see a surge in cases in the schools, which I think is great news. And we, let me see here, the surge in cases, 18 and under, actually. Okay, so this is not the positive part of it, but she's saying that there's a surge in cases for those who are 18 and under right now. We didn't really dive into the why on that, but it's an interesting sort of change from what had happened when this had first come mm-hmm. out to where we are right now. What she had also noticed is, again, with the vaccine administration, you know, folks are moving forward in the process of taking the vaccine, which is good. You know, that's what we want to see happen. There is a phased process right now. And Joe, if you could provide that link to folks, that would be really helpful. It's on the mass.gov website sure. to explain the different phases. She did talk through them yesterday as well, so that was helpful and informative. We are following the state guidelines, which is why we're pulling it from mass.gov, but it was helpful to know, you know, how are we actually implementing that in the city of Quincy? And so right now our first responders are the ones who are getting the vaccine. So that's the, you know, the police, the fire, EMT, and healthcare workers who are actually on the front lines. And so healthcare workers that are interacting directly, you know, with the public and those who potentially might have COVID-19. And then from there, we'll go into phase one, sort of part two, which is, you know, healthcare workers who are not on the front lines. And then we keep moving from there to then phase two, which you start working with folks who are 75 and older or 65 and older who have underlying symptoms. And then you move into phase three is where everyone else would get it. But all of that also depends on the rollout of more vaccines. You know, we can't go into phase two or phase three unless we have the vaccines available from the state to administer in Quincy. So again, it was really, really helpful, really informative to know, you know, what happened with the surge and the uptick, to sort of know where we are with respect to surrounding communities, to understand the change in who is getting tested positive for COVID-19 right now, to know that the schools aren't getting an uptick was great news. And then to understand the vaccine process or the vaccination process was really helpful as well.
Sure. Yeah, it's on everybody's mind right now, certainly. And, you know, something that we're going to be dealing with, I think, for at least the next 6 months. Did she give any indication as to when some sense of normalcy might start to return?
No, and I think it's really hard to tell because, again, like she said, you know, if we had all of the vaccinations available and we can time the rollout of those based off of how many vaccines we have, I think that would, you know, help to better determine when, I guess, normalcy would happen again. But we don't know because we just don't know, again, how many vaccines we'll be getting and when we'll be getting them. And so this just really is, you got to take it as it comes kind of a situation right now.
Sure, yeah.
And they're doing a phenomenal job with it. I mean, the fact that there's, you know, information changing so quickly and so much up in the air, I think they're doing a phenomenal job trying to manage and, yeah, and frankly plan around it.
Right. And of course, as we talked before, Ruth did announce her intentions to retire soon. So that's going to cause some upheaval in the health department as well and some changes there the administration will have to deal with.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a plan where I can just, you know, tie her to the city council chambers and not have her leave. She's done a phenomenal job. And so, yeah, I, again, for her to come back in front of us last night and provide some updates as well, I think just with everything that's happening, you can see she's still working incredibly hard. You know, she's not stopping. Does not matter if her retirement's official or not. She is focused on the work, you know, which I so appreciate about her.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of interesting resolutions, Nina. I wonder if you could tell us about one regarding Long Island and the other one regarding electricity.
Yes, two very interesting ones, and I'm actually really excited to chat about them. So the first one regarding Long Island, Councilor Harris worked with Councilor Palmucci to put this together, and Councilor Jabona and I were really excited to support it. But essentially the resolve, which is really sort of like a declaration from the council, was to say that we want to support ferry service to Long Island so that we can move forward with trying to create a recovery place, you know, a recovery facility. And, you know, it's been 3 years since the sort of plan for a recovery facility on Long Island was announced, and there hasn't been any movement towards that. And so, you know, for Councilor Harris to try to offer a solution, you know, I think it was really creative, right? To say, we want to see a recovery place. We want to have folks who need help get that help, you know? And so for him to say, well, let's support a ferry service. You know, that's a great way to get folks out there without having to worry about traffic, without having to worry about sitting on a Ponce Bridge or sitting on 93 and rushing to a hospital. You can't get to a hospital. You know, this is an alternative means of transportation. You know, we need to explore and be creative. And that's what he was doing with this. And so I'm really excited to, you know, sort of support him in that effort and to say that, yes, we want to explore all options to, you know, to a recovery center, you know, one that makes sense and one that will be the safest for those who are going to Long Island. And so that's my takeaway from that resolve last night.
Okay. What, would it be a ferry service from Quincy to Long Island? Was that specified at all, or is it just kind of a general statement?
It was a general statement. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, ideally, it's, again, this is a recovery center. I believe because it was announced from the mayor of Boston that it would be a recovery center for residents of Boston. And so ideally it would help transport residents from Boston, you know? But I think it's also important to think about, you know, who else needs that service and then how can we also provide them access as well. And so it was presented as a general statement to say, we want to support ferry service to a recovery center.
Okay. And was that supported, the resolution?
It was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and then Councillor Kane brought forth a resolution regarding electricity.
Yes, he's such an innovator. And so this was great that he brought this in front of us, but particularly in his ward, and I think in other parts of the city too, as an at-large councillor, I get, you know, emails from folks across the city. And I think particularly in Ward 3, they're seeing a lot of this. And so for Councillor Kane to bring this forward, I think is a great testament to what he's seeing in his ward and him wanting to be innovative about finding a solution. You know, there's constant blackouts, right? I mean, and I'm sure you've even witnessed them being in Quincy. You know, it's just, they sometimes come from nowhere. It's not about a storm. It's not about bad weather. It's not about rain or snow or downed trees. It's just constant blackouts and unexplained blackouts, you know, and we are at the mercy of National Grid. You know, it's not like we can say, okay, let me switch over to Eversource instead because National Grid is not great right now. I mean, it's National Grid or it's nothing, you know? And so not unlike Comcast, you know, we want to explore some alternative options and find something that's going to be, you know, actually reliable for the residents of the city. And so that's what he had proposed last night. Again, a resolve is sort of a a proclamation or sort of a statement in support of the counselors to make an ask for something. And so it was twofold. He wants to work with the administration to get National Grid to come to us and provide an update about what's going on, because finding out what's going on is, you know, the first step in this process, right? Why these random, constant blackouts that are unexplained, and, you know, the interruptions of service. I mean, they're awful. You have people who are trying to learn from home, work from home, you know, trying to take care of their parents, their loved ones, and their family members from home, and to have these constant rolling blackouts that go on for an unexplained and unanticipated amount of time is just not, it's, you can't live that way right now. And so to get an update and an explanation is one part of it. And the other part of it is to explore a municipally owned power and light company. And I think that'd be really exciting to see. And as you know, from what he did when he introduced municipal broadband, is that this is a very extensive process where there's a lot of community engagement. And so this is the very, very, very first step in that. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Wow. And so that resolution was supported also?
It was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Quincy Power and Light Company. Well, okay. You never know.
At least we would have control over it, you know, and we wouldn't be at the mercy of this one, you know, one company, but right. It'd be great. Again, if we can provide more options for residents, so if that's what we want to see happen.
Well, I mean, it's done right next door in Braintree, so it certainly can be done. It's,
yeah, there you go.
Finally, Nina, a surprise announcement from Councillor Kroll last night.
Yes, before we get there, actually, I do want to just touch on something. I think we very quickly went by it yesterday because it was just a no-brainer to support it. But I want to shout out the mayor. He brought something to the council last night that was supported unanimously. And again, the conversation went by so quickly because it just, it's a great thing to support. There are provisions of the state law, Section 10 and 15 of Chapter 218, and the Acts of 2018 called the BRAVE Act. And essentially, it provides tax relief to veterans and their families. And so that's something that he wanted to bring in front of us, get passed, let's get that rolling so that we can support the veterans and their families here in the city. And yeah, that went by and got voted on unanimously. And I just want to pause and take a moment to thank him for bringing that to us, because that's, again, another bit of creativity that you see, right? How can we find different ways to provide some support to the families of Quincy? And you know, this is another one that was found and we were able to implement, and so I'm excited for it.
Oh, okay. So this is helped them with their property taxes specifically?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. So yes, to the announcement, as you were saying, yeah, I am, wow, you know, Councillor Kroll, he is the reason I am in love with the budget process, right? I mean, that's something that I've always been really interested in, but since day one when I came on the council, he was my go-to person to really go through every line item on the budget book and understand the process. And he's my numbers person, you know?
Well, I think he was the chair of the finance committee when you first joined the council, wasn't he?
Yeah, very, very appropriate, I think. And so, I mean, even outside of that though, he has been a great friend, a great mentor. And, you know, when he'll say his formal goodbye at our meeting next week, and that's when my colleagues and I will be able to say our formal goodbyes as well. You know, in the meantime, particularly in the last 12 hours, you know, since we've heard, you know, I think it's important that, you know, I provide my colleagues and myself some time to digest it and to, you know, find the right words to say a nice formal goodbye to him next week. But most importantly, to take the time in the next week to think about the process, to look at the legislation, see, you know, again, work with the solicitor, work with the clerk's office to find out what the process is for the appointment, make sure that we get that out to the public. We want folks to know that this process is going to be as transparent as possible. And I want to make sure that I understand the process before we can share that with folks so that they can understand it and we can answer questions for them. So it'll be a really interesting week coming up, but definitely a sad one in anticipation of his leaving. Really, really smart guy. Really smart guy. Just through and through. Yeah, just brilliant. So he'll leave a huge, huge hole on the council for sure.
Yeah, been there since 2012, and personally, I can say he's always been very accessible. You know, very in touch with his constituents. Certainly, very concerned about making sure that their issues are heard and that they have a venue and a platform to speak. So he's done a lot of good for the Quincy Point area, no doubt. So the process is the council makes a replacement, and then obviously the election in November is when the seat opens up.
Correct. Yes. And again, I just have to, I have to now look into the process and make sure that I have a full understanding of it. And then that way we can share it with folks and make sure that it's a full transparent process. But yeah, so that'll be coming up. Once I find out more information about it, we'll make sure to share that with folks.
Yeah, this will be the first time this has happened, I think, since you've been on the council. So it'll be all new.
Yeah, there's always something new to learn. So that's all we can do is continue to learn.
Yeah. Do you anticipate that the meetings will remain virtual, Nina, for the time being?
For now. Again, just even with the update that Ruth gave us yesterday, I think we are still seeing the impact of that sort of holiday surge happening. And so we're still in the red zone. And until those numbers come down, we have to think about everyone's safety first and foremost. I think I don't want to speak on behalf of all my colleagues, but I certainly would love to be in the same room with them again, and to have these meetings in person and have the public come and, have them partake in the meetings in person and to see everybody. That would be amazing. I would love that. I miss that very much, but we really need to think about everyone's safety first and foremost. So we'll keep a close eye on it as we have. Hopefully we'll be able to see each other in person soon.
All right. Appreciate it. And hopefully we catch up next. It'll be next Wednesday, actually, right after the Tuesday meeting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Good to see you, Nina. Be well.
You too. Talk to you then.